So we're going to go through the birth record of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We last week did Zechariah, actually the life and ministry of John the Baptist. And that's up online, by the way. I put it up there. And we did not cover the records of the birth of our Lord. But, you know, both things were really important to each other. Because when Mary gets this message, she's sent to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is having a baby in her old age, and this is a great sign to her, really built her faith. But many of us have seen this thing so many times, and I never get tired of it, to tell you the truth. Never get tired of it because it's one of the great things of love God has done for all of us. From the very beginning, God has promised us a Savior, from Genesis 3:15. When man sinned, his first reaction, our Father's first reaction, was to send a Redeemer, a Savior, his Son. And all throughout the Scriptures, that Messiah is told what he's going to be. And he's also told what's going to happen to him. And when Jesus Christ came, he was faithful to do it all. And but this is really the love story that God has for his people. God had the stars arranged in a certain way to announce it. God had it written in his scriptures. God Almighty wanted to make sure that every single individual on the planet Earth would understand how significant this is and who this child was. God had the angels declare it to the shepherds in the field. He had them go witness throughout the town. Almighty God had so... You know, he preserved the birth records of all of Mary's family and all of Joseph's family to show that they were in the right line, to prove to every unbeliever on the face of the earth that the Messiah was sent and that he was the one. And if anybody gives the Lord half a chance, they have eternal life. And if they don't, then they don't. And it's on them. It isn't on him, the Almighty God, at all. See, mankind can be that hard-hearted and cruel and that arrogant. You see that all around you all the time. Almighty God is merciful, loving, kind, and he provides. And he provides to all mankind. And what they do with it is up to them. Even today, even that we celebrate his birth on the 25th of December, we celebrate this birth of this boy, this child. And almost everyone on the earth knows that it's happening. Might be the wrong day, but the Lord is still proclaimed. And that, to me, after 2,000 years, is pretty miraculous. Actually, it's very miraculous. In the book of Luke in chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, this is talking about after Elizabeth is pregnant for 6 months now, going to have John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. She's a young girl. Mary can't be too much more than 16, probably a little younger. And because that's about the time you got married back then. Joseph couldn't have been too much older. But the point is, she was a virgin. Never knew a man. And she was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Being espoused means that you're like we have in our culture, that you're engaged. But it's a much stronger arrangement than an engagement that we have. You can change your mind for an engagement that you might have with someone now. You really couldn't change your mind. Your mom and dad arranged the marriage, and then about a year before the official marriage, they had a ceremony of espousal. And it was much more locked in than that. And I don't have anything in our culture that would be close to it. It's almost like a marriage without a marriage. And she's a spouse to Joseph of the house of David. So God tells us that he is also out of the line and lineage of David, the king. And the virgin's name was Mary. And her lineage was also out of the line of David. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her heart what manner of salutation this should be. And there was nothing different about her being troubled and fearful at the moment. How would you like Gabriel to be just pop up in the middle of the room and then give you a message directly from the Almighty God and wonder what is going on here? I mean, remember, they don't have Star Trek on TV or anything, you know. There's nothing in your life experience, not even on TV in science fiction, that can bring this one up. But she is highly favored. Why? The scriptures don't tell us. Why this woman and not another? A lot of people could have had the Christ child. A lot of people were in the line of David, but it doesn't say. God chose. Just like God chose so many individuals before. Did she know more Bible than anybody else? She certainly knew a lot, but doesn't say. So you can guess all you want, but if the scriptures don't tell you, you just don't know. All I know is that she is highly favored from God Almighty himself. And it says, blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, verse 29, at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now we call our Lord Jesus. This is the, his name really is Yeshua. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. That is what his mother called him. And the reason it's Jesus is because of translations. It's because it was translated. This word was translated from the Greek to the Latin. And then the pronunciation in Latin in Europe around the time where the Bible was started to be put down on paper was J. Okay, and you can look it up for yourself. It's not that hard to figure out, but it was Jesus, all right? But it's Yeshua, because his name is Hebrew. But we will call him Jesus, because that is what I've been calling him forever at the moment. But I wanted you to know what his real name is in Hebrew. And the angel said, Gabriel said, his name is going to be Yeshua, and he shall be great. Look at the different things it says about. It tells you a lot about what he is going to be, this Messiah. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Most High God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And again, you don't see it in the English, but the Most High God is El Elan. All right? The Most High God, one of God's titles. And then it says, the Lord God, it is Yahweh thy Elohim, shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is, I mean, in one verse of scripture, you have so much information that you could go back to the Old Testament and look and see these promises and all the things that have been said and are being said. So let's just see a couple of them. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. We're just going to look at a couple of these. God tells David that he's going to have seed that's going to sit on his throne. Verse 12 says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, a lot of people thought that this prophecy was about Solomon, but Solomon didn't do anything forever. And by the way, Solomon, under his reign, because he was not faithful, the kingdom was divided, and it's never been united since. But there will be a day. God, the one that God is talking about, the Messiah, which David also knew, because he knew that his bones wouldn't, in the book of Acts, he knew that he would not see corruption, that God would raise him from the dead, and that that was David's hope. In Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, talks about him in his reign again and sitting on the throne. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these titles the Christ will be called when he sits on the throne in the kingdom to come. And the reason why is because he is God's servant reigning on the earth in his stead as the king. In Isaiah chapter 16, just the last one we'll look at. In verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth and in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. These are all the promises concerning the ruling Messiah. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob. He is David's descendant. Go back to Luke. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Angel Gabriel made this proclamation to her. And let's put it this way. There was no secret that the Christ would be born of a woman. It was no secret that he was going to be born, that he was going to reign, that he was going to be out of the house of David. It wasn't a secret that he was going to come naturally. You know, just like babies are born all the time. The thing that wasn't known is Mary couldn't figure out is how's this going to happen to me if I haven't even known a man yet. And what she didn't know is God was going to create the seed within her. And so the angel tells her. Her question is not unbelief. Her question is, you can't have faith unless you know the information to have faith in. You know, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God, right? There's no such thing as blind faith. That's stupid faith. God has never required blind faith from anybody. He tells you what to believe, then it's your choice to believe it. He doesn't say you have to understand it. He just gives you the information to believe. You don't have to know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. You don't need to know everything. You need to know information. And she asks, how is this thing going to be? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's exactly how it's going to happen, Mary. Read it again. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest, the Most High God, shall overshadow thee. That's the information she received, and that's it. This is how it's going to be. And I want you to look at this amazing, you know, truth, because God does this. He backs it up. He backs it up with Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and his birth. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Whatever it is that ran through her heart. And I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about her for a moment. God is calling this young girl who's never been with anyone, who is highly favored of him, to a lifetime of being cursed. A lifetime of being despised, looked down upon. Because in Deuteronomy, it says that if a virgin is espoused to a man and she be found with child, there's two options for this woman in the law in Deuteronomy 22. You stone her to death. Her father or mother would take her into the court and into the gate, and the men of the city would stone her to death. Or that the man she's espoused to, promised to, writes her a bill of divorcement, and then she's despised for the rest of her life and thrown out of society. What God's just done to this young girl who is highly favored of him has given her a life of hardship for the rest of her days. And that includes with family, that includes with, and her husband. Just think about it. She knows this. This woman, this kid, we call them kids, this woman, because you can grow up as soon as you want to in life. It's really by necessity, you know what I mean? A man was considered, got bar mitzvahed in Jewish tradition when he's 13, right? Supposed to become a man. Well, you can choose to be one, or you can choose to be kid. Choice. Different cultures, different things, whatever. Nothing's impossible with God. But look at what God Almighty is asking her to believe, to do. Look at what God Almighty is asking her to sacrifice. And look at her response. Because she says in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I will be the Lord's servant, the Lord's doula, a bond slave of the Lord, whatever it is. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Real different attitude compared to Zacharias, huh? That we heard about last week. How's this going to be? I'm an old man. Good. Well, I'll show you a sign. You're not going to talk until it happens. Mary's response, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." What a woman. And Mary arose in those days and went unto the hill country with haste, unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out loud with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. For whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come unto me?" Elizabeth understood immediately that she was carrying the Messiah, the first person. Actually, John the Baptist might have been the first one who realized it when he leaped in her womb. But Elizabeth understood that this was the Messiah coming, and she was going to be the mother. And she just walked in the door. God revealed it to her. "That the mother of my Lord should come unto me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he had showed strength with his arm, and had scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. And he hath put down the mighty from their seat, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months. That means Elizabeth's going to give birth really, really soon. If she doesn't give birth, and then Mary leaves. About 3 months, and returned to her own house. Awesome. Go to turn the page here. We're going to go to Matthew, I believe. Matthew chapter 1. Right after Mary goes back to her own house, she's 3 months pregnant. We're just going to follow the timeline here. Matthew chapter 1. Now, does Joseph know any of this yet? Don't think so. Not until Mary goes back home. And she's 3 months. So Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The two things that the law talks about. He wasn't going to have her stoned to death, but he was considering putting her away, writing that bill of divorcement. Remember, he doesn't know anything. But while he thought on these things, so it must have been pretty soon after, because I don't think it would take him a real long time to figure it out, what he wanted to do. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. So both Mary and David are in the line. And you can follow this all the way back. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, it's of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph, just man, wonderful man, did exactly what he was told in the dream. This dream must have been something spectacular. It wasn't just like one of your normal dreams that you have in the middle of the night where you can hardly remember what went on after it was all over. No, when you get one of these kind of dreams, this is like living the reality of it right there and then. And Joseph also, hearing this, was willing, not only convinced, but willing to take unto him a lifetime of catastrophe in their culture. You know, never being respected again. In fact, I'll show you what they thought of him here. Go to Matthew 13 for a second. This is what they thought of the family. Matthew 13. The people are saying, who is this guy? In verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's bastard kid? I mean, that's what they thought of him. Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So you had four brothers. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Hence, when hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. Here he is, he's teaching the word, he's doing great things. And they said, isn't this Joseph's kid? Not exactly praise and respect. And they were offended in him. They were offended in him because he was an illegitimate child. The whole family is illegitimate. The kids, brothers and sisters were tainted. But Joseph took her, and they had a normal, loving marriage relationship. But Joseph didn't have intercourse with her. He probably had intercourse with her, but he didn't conceive a child with her until after her firstborn, Jesus, was born. They were willing to do this for God. You know, you think about it. How much are you? You just think about those kinds of commitments that people make. That's what flabbergasts me about these two. You know, and you don't hear much about Joe. You just don't hear much about him from this point on. He is the one who will provide and care for and raise and fight for his family, and you don't hear nothing from him. And he must have been a great man, but he just didn't need the ink. You know, what do they call it? The ink? You know, he didn't need to say too much more about him. Whatever he was, he did his job. And whether he was alive or dead during Jesus' life, or whether he died early, it don't say. But I know this. He did what God wanted him to do. And that's something to hold on to throughout eternity. Love to meet that guy. So, back to Luke, please. Chapter 2. We're still following the timeline. Joseph takes her. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." That's where he was from. "And because there was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes," which is, you know, they wrap babies in these strips of cloth. First you wash the child. They wash them in salted water after he's born, and they wrap him tightly in these swaddling clothes. Each thing had a significance. But remember, the angel had told this child's going to be great, the son of the highest. He's going to reign over the house of David. So they did the procedures that a king would receive. They believed this. They knew what they were doing. I don't know if every child got the same treatment, but I know we are told specifically that the Messiah got it. And verse 7, "And she brought first her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Here, just a bunch of shepherds in the field. Shepherds are really honored people. You know, they because they care so much for the sheep. But why these men? I don't know. But God was certainly excited to have his kid born. I mean, and the most faithful people that he had were these shepherds in the field. Out of all Israel, nobody's seeing the star, you know, I mean, except for the people, the unbelievers, not the unbelievers, but the Gentiles who were over in Babylon. They recognized the star in the sky. We talked about that a little bit not that long ago. They understood. They saw it because Daniel had taught them the word. But nobody in Israel knew. When he's a toddler, that they come and come to the king and said, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews?" He's about a year and a half year old then. Nobody even knew the event happened. God wants this event known. He sends the angels to the shepherds in the field. And the angels said unto them, verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah, the Lord, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." That's why I say, I don't think every babe had swaddling clothes. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which was come to pass, and the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them." That's the birth record of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The faith of Mary, Joseph, the willingness to sacrifice, all that God had done, promised, told, all that he made known. Nothing stopped our Father from sending his Son. Nothing. Nothing will stop him from sending him again. You know, Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. I've gone through this record probably in my life. I've seen it portrayed wrongly on TV. I've seen it other things. I've heard about this all my life. I have pondered this record. I've looked at it. I am still amazed, totally amazed that the Almighty would go through so much effort, so much detail, and record it so precisely, and then back it up with prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, with birth record and genealogies and stars and everything else, so that you and I and all the people of the earth could know that our Lord is the Messiah, the one who's going to reign who's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who is given us salvation, bled and died for us. What a loving Father that is. If you just sit quiet and think about it, how much does he love you? All comes back down to that. He loved us first. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I love you all a lot, and I'm so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you. I pray that you are all well and stay good and move the word, guys. Move the word. Teach it to your children. Teach it to the neighbors. Love, pray, stand up. Praise our God and rejoice for what he has done. And Father, I thank you for your goodness, for giving us your son, Father, for recording it so precisely that if anybody really wants to know, Father, they can see it for themselves and they can come to know the Almighty God and his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That they can believe the gospel and they can see the love that you have for mankind. I praise you, I love you, and I am just so grateful for what you've done. Thank you for your blessing upon your people. Thank you for those that abundantly share and blessing them, my God, and multiplying it back to them. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are in your need. I ask you as they cry out that they know that you will answer. And I praise you, Father. Take care of us and watch over your kids. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.